Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
It's good to be together. It's great to be able to share the word with you, and I count it a privilege. We have been journeying for quite a number of weeks in a series called Simple Prayer, based on a book by the same title. And we're at the end of it this week. This is the final Simple Prayer week. And today we're looking at liberation. Liberation. What do you think of when you see, hear that word? Maybe if you're not sure about that word, another word for it would be freedom or release or deliverance. What comes to mind with those words? Is there a situation that comes to mind in your life? Is there a picture that comes to mind? Maybe this next picture here might be what you would call freedom, liberation. If you're not sure who that is, that's Nelson Mandela and his wife on the day he was released from prison. Maybe in more recent days, it'll be a picture like this, an Israeli hostage released and reunited with her family. Or maybe it's this. Looks like my dog, Gilbert, a little bit. But this dog definitely needs liberation, freedom, release, and I'm happy to say that he did eventually get it. But that little dog got stuck in the dryer vent. Yes, a little bit mischievous. So those are what I would call liberation from external restraint. Liberation of the oppressed peoples of the world. Those who have no political freedom, those who are imprisoned or tortured for their beliefs. The enormous number of people in the world who are suffering from economic exploitation or living in extreme poverty. They are captive to external circumstances. But there's actually another type of liberation, another type of freedom that's internal. And we can experience an internal freedom. A freedom not from the tyranny imposed by others, but from the tyranny of ourselves. Our unchecked passions, our desires which hold us captive and enslave us. Whether it's freedom from the complexities of addiction or alcoholism, or even freedom from simple things like telling a little white lie every now and then. There's those two extremes and everything in between. The Apostle Paul, in his writings to the church in Rome, he gives a great description of the inner slavery of a man when our wayward desires are not yet brought under control. He says this, "I do not understand my own actions. For I do not what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." Ever feel like that? I really think it's a human condition that everyone can relate to. We know what is right, we know the right thing to do, and yet sometimes we don't do it. We do the complete opposite. Do you want to feel that less? Do you want to do that less? Well, the good news is that we don't have to strive and try and achieve that in our own strength. Our fight for this liberation, we don't have to do on our own. God has made a way. There's a great passage in Isaiah that reminds us of the thrilling, amazing relationship we're invited into with our Creator. It's a relationship that offers liberation, freedom, fulfillment, and spiritual liberation. Let's have a look at that. In Isaiah 49, this is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. Come out, be free. Let's contemplate those truths for a moment as we commit this time in prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise that you have made to us. Promises of freedom, of fulfillment, and spiritual liberation. And we thank you for the thrilling relationship that you offer us, a relationship that is the light in the darkness, that is the refuge in the storm, that is the strength in times when we are feeling weak. As we look at your word today, we pray that you would open our eyes to see your truth. Open our ears to hear your voice and open our hearts to receive your love. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as we look a little bit deeper into this Isaiah passage, we see that the Lord's promise is not just to answer us, but to help us, to keep us, to make us a covenant for the people. He calls the captives out, and he promises to save. He promises to save those who are oppressed, to help those who are in darkness, to let the captives be free. A fulfillment of the promise for today that we can experience because we have relationship with him. He is our source of strength, our promise and hope, our eternal life found through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So it's in Isaiah that we find the promise of freedom, liberation. Freedom, not the worldly kind that we've seen photographs of, not the kind that's associated with political or social liberation. This freedom's different. It's a freedom that transcends the physical and touches on the spiritual. A freedom that is found in our faith. It's found and anchored in our faith in Jesus Christ as the one who sets all captives free. I wonder if you need this kind of freedom in your life. Do you need a freedom that breaks the chains of bondages? Are you bound to something in the past that you need freedom from? Do you need freedom from your failures? Are they holding you back? Or freedom from your fears? Is there a fear that keeps coming back to you? Christ offers us a freedom that helps us to step out of the shadows and into the light. But this freedom isn't just about being liberated from negative things. It's actually also about embracing the positive, actually playing our part in the freedom that Christ offers. Embracing hope and joy and peace, purpose, meaning, things, and fulfillment. In the text, we see the freedom being offered to the captives, to those who are trapped in darkness. They're called to come out. They actually have to participate, to come out, to step into the light, to embrace the freedom that is found in faith. This is a call that resonates with us today. God invites us to step into the light. The text also speaks of the day of salvation. A day when God will help us, will keep us, will make us a covenant for the people. That's what it says. You know, we have the amazing privilege that we actually sit on the other side of this actually happening. So this was written before Jesus. This is a prophetic word of what Jesus was going to do, what we're about to celebrate. The coming birth of a Savior who would set the captives free. We live on the other side of that being fulfilled. The promise fulfilled through Jesus coming, through his death and through his resurrection. Today, through Jesus, we receive God's divine intervention, his divine protection, his divine provision. His presence is available right now. If you've never experienced it, if you've never asked for it, I encourage you, ask God for it, for a taste of his presence in your life. But this promise isn't just for the present. It's actually for the future as well. It's a promise that extends beyond our current circumstances, beyond our present struggles, beyond our immediate needs. It's a promise that assures us of God's enduring presence, his everlasting power, his eternal provision. It's something we experience now, but we know we can experience for eternity in the new heavens and the new earth that is to come. This text in Isaiah, we find a promise of liberation and freedom that is anchored in the divine promises of God. Liberation from the negative, but also embracing the positive. It's also a promise that not only has already been fulfilled for all people, but that we can personally experience. It's an active commitment. God's committed to you. Do you know that? He's committed to you. Every single day. He gives us his presence. He says in verse 8, in the day of salvation, I will help you. God doesn't merely stand by and watch us struggle. He steps in. He offers assistance. He doesn't leave us to fend for ourselves, but extends a hand and says, I will lift you up. He doesn't abandon us in our time of need. God's promise is that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Have you heard that before? I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. It kind of can roll off the tongue pretty easily when you don't actually think about it much. But think about it for a moment. There is a God who says to you, as an individual, as his child, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Pretty extraordinary. And his presence comes with his protection. In the same verse, we're assured, I will keep you. So I will be with you, I will keep you. In other translations, it says, I will protect you. And this is a permanent thing. It's not a temporary safeguard, but it's permanent. It guards us for a lifetime. It doesn't just defend us in immediate danger, but it's our defense for eternity. So what does it mean in the last part of verse 8 when it says, I will make you to be a covenant for the people? I will make you to be a covenant for the people. This is an agreement from God. This is a promise from God. But it's not just a one-off thing that he made. If we look back and we study this word, the Hebrew of this word covenant is berith. I think we've got it there on the next slide, Mark. Oh, we've got lots of things. Oh, look, Mark, we've had lots of things to look through. Keep going. I've been highlighting those texts. Keep going. Make you a covenant. There we go. Yep, go back. One more. No. Forward. Yep. That's it. Stay there. All right. Berith is how you pronounce that in the Hebrew. And this word is used throughout the Old Testament, and it denotes a binding agreement between two parties, those parties being God and us. But this word is used in many interactions with different people. In Genesis 9, God establishes a berith with Noah. If You know Noah and the ark? He made a promise and a covenant with Noah, promising never again to destroy the earth by flood. That's where we see the beautiful rainbow, God's promise. In Exodus 24, Moses sprinkles the blood of the bereath upon the people. God's promise, God's covenant, signifying their acceptance of the law. In 2 Samuel 23, David speaks of bereath that God has made with him, a promise of an everlasting kingdom. In every single one of these instances, bereath signified not just an agreement, but a commitment, a pledge, a vow. You know, the closest that we really have is a wedding vow. Something that you don't enter into lightly, something that is hard to separate from, but God will never separate himself from us. He has promised that. His commitment to us, his covenant with us will never be broken. And it's because of these promises from God that we can do what we're called to in verse 9. We can come out. When you say to the person next to you, come out. Now say to them, be free. You can do better than that. Be free. Yeah. This isn't just a suggestion from God. It's actually a divine decree. God does not merely invite the captives to come out, like, oh, come out if you want to. Come on. Like I do with my dog. Come on. And he stands there and looks at me. No. God says, come out. So it's a divine decree, but it's done in love. I guess that's the difference. You know, we think a decree, you know, like come out, like this angry God, but it's not. God's like, come out, because I've got so much for you. I've got so much love for you. I've got all the protection you need. I've got everything you need to be free. Come out. Be free. So as we move on, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the glorious spiritual truth, the spiritual liberation. It's a freedom that transcends the physical. You can be spiritually free and be locked in a jail cell. You can be free indeed and still be physically captive. We're going to sing a song later, Who the Sun Sets Free is Free Indeed, because we are children of God. This spiritual liberation is a deep and abiding reality, transformative truth that permeates every aspect of our lives. Now, if we seek this freedom, it breaks the chains of sin. Is there a sin that you keep coming back to? That you do, that you don't want to do, but you just keep coming back to, like Paul wrote about. This spiritual freedom shatters the shackles of shame. Is there something in your past that you're ashamed of that you just can't let go of? And it's a freedom that demolishes the walls of worry. Is there something that always worries you, that you have to keep giving to God, and it keeps coming up again and again? This freedom says if there is sin, you can let go. If there is shame, you can let go. If there is worry, you can let go. Jesus provides a freedom from all of those things and empowers us to live in the fullness of God's love, to walk in the light of truth, to serve in the strength of his Spirit, no matter what we are doing or where we are. This is a great example of this is Paul himself, who wrote to the church in Philippi. He says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Have we got that scripture, Mark? Yes. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Those words, Paul wrote them not from the comfort of his home, warm by a fire, or sitting by tranquil waters of a river. They were written from a dark, dank, rat-infested Roman jail cell. Read it again with that in mind. I have learned the secret of being content in every and any situation, even sitting in a jail cell. Paul had come to learn that true contentment, true freedom, true spiritual liberation was not based on external circumstances, but on the nearness of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in him. It was found in God himself and not in the passing events of this life. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy. It kind of makes it sound easy to be content in all circumstances. I'm sure that there are things going on in your life where that's really hard. But what Paul shows us in his words is that it is possible. It's possible. It can be done. C.S. Lewis. Some of you would know of C.S. Lewis because he wrote Narnia. Or The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Is that correct? Yes. But he's also a respected Christian writer. And he wrote, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." The Son of God became a man to enable you to become a child of God. This statement encapsulates the essence of spiritual liberation. It's through the Son of God that we are enabled to become sons and daughters of God, free from the bondages of sin and death, free from the bondages that this world puts on us, and to live in abundance of grace and mercy. But it requires something on our part. Like I said earlier, it requires active pursuit of surrender. To submit ourselves to his desires. See, we can't have that spiritual freedom as a child of God and still do whatever we want to do. We've got to be so connected to God that what we do is what actually is in line with what he wants for our lives. And it's then we'll experience that true freedom. Freedom and liberation. How do we gain the liberation God offers to break the chains of sin, to shatter the shackles of shame and demolish the walls of worry? Through faith in Jesus, yes. But also we need to bring those things to God in prayer. We'd eventually get to prayer. Simple prayer. Simple prayer that gives us liberation. The only way that we can do this is through active relationship with God. Talking to him. Listening to him. Praising him. Prayer. It reminds me of that old hymn. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Spiritual liberation and freedom through active relationship with God. A surrendered life to the Son of God, for he alone can set us free. He alone has the power to transform us from the inside out so that we may become sons and daughters of God that we are called to be, that we were created to be, and that Christ died for us to be. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word and your promises. We thank you for your love that is greater than we can ever comprehend. As we worship you now, help us to remember that we are never alone, that you are always with us, fighting for us, loving us with an active love. And help us to share that love with others, to be a light in the darkness, a beacon of hope, that people may see that we find joy and freedom even in the midst of hard circumstances in our life, and they may say, how do you get that? Lord, if we need freedom, would you help us to go deeper with you in our prayers? Prayer is just conversation, God. This is just a conversation with you. Yet it has such power because you are all powerful. Help us in our need, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.